Why are you making faces at the microphone? Why are you doing that? Stop. Do not lick it. Oh my God. You're crazy today.
I had an energy drink.
Oh, Jesus.
Have a sex toy. We'll try it. Have a fetish. We'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Hello and welcome. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
Well, guys, we got some fun stuff coming today. But first, we got to get this out of the way. What's playing? So, who would like to go first?
I will go. I have here today with me a stone sex toy. Which is my only one in my collection that's other than like stone eggs and things. This is actually like a real full on dildo. And this is made by an Etsy company called Anticipation USA. And I have to tell you, I talked to their dicksmith, and he just really puts so much thought into the design of these. And it really is amazing. Like it's marble. It's like solid marble. It's just got this nice little like hook on the end that's perfect for getting to any kind of G-spot stuff or deep into the A-spot. The other end is sort of got like, it's sort of pointed, but it's got like these little bulbous things. So between the shape and the weight, like you wouldn't really think that the weight would make such a difference, especially if you played with a lot of silicone toys, because they're pretty light. But that heaviness of the stone, that weight in and of itself adds so much to the feeling of it. So it's like, it's sort of a simple non-tech toy, which doesn't go along with our theme very well today, but it's really, really pretty awesome. I would say comparable to the Enjoy Pure Wand. It's sort of like that heavy and really solid and that kind of good G-spot stimulation. So, and it's beautiful. You know, it's veined white marble with got these nice little streaks in it, and it's just really a gorgeous, gorgeous toy. So that's what I've been playing with and really enjoying.
So, Kit, we're recording this at 4:22. It's, you know, only a couple days after 4:20. So what I'm hearing from you is when most people get stoned on 4:20, they're talking about pot. But when you get stoned,
you're talking about a real life stone.
You're talking about a dildo. Is this what I'm getting?
That's all right. Exactly right. Stoned on 4:20, and I was. Yep.
Well, somewhat sticking with our theme of technological sex toys today, kind of. I have been playing with the Buttnick by Hole Punch Toys. Now, it's not actually electronic or technical sex toy or anything like that, but it is modeled after a rocket ship. So it's a little butt plug that has a removable penetrable ring around it. So it's kind of a neat little combo toy. I've been having a lot of fun with that. I do have some small concerns about the size of the flared base on it, which actually is a little bit smaller than the butt plug itself. So when I was playing with that the other night, I think it's safe because there's enough of a ledge there, but I was a little bit cognizant of that while I was playing. It made me a little bit nervous. But other than that, like really super high quality. Hole Punch Toys, very high quality toy. Everything he makes is specific for, you know, I think there's a few things that are pre-made there, but you go there and he's going to make you like handmade, super awesome, high quality sex toys. And it even came with like its own little like tube and packaging and a USB stick with a video on it. It's like really cool stuff. He thinks about the whole package. So that's been a lot of fun. Now, Lily, you've been very busy. You've been very productive. Tell us what you've been doing.
So I don't know. Just lately I've gotten into wanting to play with like a ton of toys. So when I go to go play, I grab like 3 or 4 toys at once. And so one of the things that we picked up a couple weeks ago when we were at Exotica Denver is a Migalori butt plug. It's a little butt plug that has a little flower on the top.
And a separate one with a gem.
Yep, and a separate one with a gem. And so one of my things is I wanted to wear that with Max. And so I played with that. And then I've also been really enjoying the Satisfyer Pro for Couples, which is a...
It's kind of like a Wii Vibe. It has an insertional vibrational piece, and then it has the usual suction Satisfyer piece that goes on the clit at the same mm-hmm. time.
So I've been enjoying that one a lot as well.
But we haven't actually used it as a couple yet.
No, I've just been using it as a single toy and for, you know, for anal and stuff. So, so the other one I've been playing with a lot is actually the Fun Factory Astronic G, which is a pulsator toy.
Yep, that's kind of like the Bistronic Fusion that we used a while back and did a review on. Now, one of the neat things about this one is it's a little bit smaller, so I should be able to actually use it pretty easy this time.
And but, it doesn't have the whale tail.
Yeah, it doesn't have the whale tail on it. This one is like purpose-built for hitting the G-spot, which is really great. But the neat thing about this one is this was our first unboxing that we've done. So we'll put a link in the show notes and you can see us as we open up this toy for the first time and have me make some really stupid comments about it because that's a lot of fun. All right. So today, the main portion of our episode is going to be talking with a gentleman that knows quite a bit about the crossover of technology, sex, and having a good time. Hello, we're all here with Q-Dot of MetaFetish. So Q-Dot, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the projects you work on and what do you do?
Yeah, thanks for having me here. So I run a website called MetaFetish at MetaFetish.com. Used to be known as Slashdong, but that was a play on the whole Slashdot open source Linux blog in 2004. And it turns out that's not so popular now. So it went from being a funny Linux joke to a genital mutilation joke that most people were kind of leery about. So I had to actually change that up a few years ago, which is why we're MetaFetish now. So
oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. that was more than a little awkward in conversations sometimes. So anyways, MetaFetish was started in 2004 and I created it to sort of teach people about how different parts of engineering work via sex toys. The idea there was, this was before the maker movement, so before Arduinos and Maker Faire and Make Magazine and all of that crap. And I was noticing that a lot of people that were interested in engineering were either under 18, so like before college, or over 35. Mm-hmm. They were actually get in college, starting a family, starting a career, things like that. So there was no one in the 18 to 35 age range at that point that was really like, okay, let's learn about engineering. And I was working in education at the time anyways, and I was like, okay, so how can we get people interested in it? And just stole the idea from advertising to use sex.
Absolutely.
And so just started gathering up different sex toys and taking them apart, showing people how they work, showing people how to build their own. And throughout the years, we've taught classes on how to build your own sex toys using Arduinos and how to program them to do different things or control them in different ways. The site, after the maker movement kind of came out and Arduino happened and everything else, pivoted more toward focusing on the UI UX of sex toys. Because when you're using a sex toy, you're in a very specific state that most software is not designed for, and most interfaces are not designed for. So kind of thinking about how can we change and optimize and learn from these interfaces to make them better for the user and then possibly take things from that and apply it to other products too. For instance, with teledildonics, so computer-controlled sex toys that you can control remotely. So your partner can have a vibrator and you can be somewhere thousands of miles away and control it through the internet. Most of those use like sliders and buttons and things like that, things you would see on any sort of software, really. Mm. And those aren't really good controls to have sex with.
Yeah.
So we are just kind of trying to figure out what we can do to make these interfaces more natural, more intimate. And that's kind of where I'm going with this whole butt plug project that you mentioned. So butt plug actually started probably 5 or 6 years ago, but really kicked off last year in early 2017. Butt plug is a set of open source standards or protocols for controlling sex toys. And what I mean by that is right now there's like tens of sex toys out there that can be controlled by computers, like either your desktop, your computer, or your smartphone or whatever else. Some of them vibrate, some of them stroke, some of them use eSTEM. There's all these different actuation methods to basically work with the user. And with all of these sex toys comes control interfaces that are built specifically for that sex toy and probably mm-hmm. won't work with any other toy because that's the way capitalism works. We don't want other people working with your toy because then you're going to lose money. So our idea with Butt Plug, and there's a like little developer community around it now even, is that we can develop a protocol that allows a developer to make software that controls all of these toys using a minimal amount of code. So instead of having to know exactly how a Levin's toy works and exactly how a Kiri toy works and all these different companies and everything else, you can just send out a vibrate command or a stroke command or a rotate command, and our software will translate it to whatever toy you have hooked up at the time. And the really interesting part is we can actually experiment with that. So say you're playing a game that's programmed for strokers, but you only have a vibrator. How can we try to translate that haptic language between what is supposed to be stroking and the vibrating you're actually going to feel? And at that point, you get to start experimenting, which is super, super fun.
When you're talking teledudonics, like testing is one of the best parts of the whole experience. But stepping back a little bit, you were talking about how these toys have different control interfaces and in different ways that they interact with people. And all I was thinking about was the developer term, like separation of concerns almost, right? You're taking mm-hmm. like the control and you're separating it from what you're actually doing. And you're making this, I don't know, like wrapper that goes between them so that you can universally use all these modules with that one over there. That's a really cool idea.
Yep. That's exactly what we're going for. And I mean, this is not completely stuck on the software side too. I mean, that's what we're doing right now because that's easiest. You don't actually have to build anything or put any electronics together or have anything manufactured. In the future, though, that's certainly an interest of how can we start, instead of just having like your phone or your mouse and keyboard or whatever control toys, can we start hooking in new things like biometrics, EEG, pulse, temperature, things like that, or other sorts of hardware? I mean, maybe it's your Fitbit. Like the more you walk, the more the vibrator goes, something like that.
Really, oh, that would be nice.
That's the fun part about this is really the sky's the limit once you have the protocol down and can talk to it. So we've already had people talking about building their own control hardware that might work better than just a computer interface or something like that. And that's really what we're going for.
I kind of like the game aspect of the whole Fitbit thing, because if you walk, you know, if you meet your goal for 10,000 steps a day, you get to have a vibration for 2 minutes or something later on in the day.
See, what I was thinking was talking about is like immediate.
Oh no, so, I was thinking for later, because if like, I'm going for a run, I don't want that while I'm running.
Well, yeah, so I'm saying it like slows you down almost. Like you're like, oh god, I got it, but you got to keep trying to push it or something. But you're talking about like almost you build up stuff throughout the day.
It's like, you know, I need to build it up for later.
Even that one example he gave, there's so many different options of what you can do, gamification for it, right?
And
like maybe even how much I walk for the day is how much vibration I can give you. Or actually, how about that? We're both running at the same time competing, right? And because the vibration might slow you down, then the faster I run, the more vibration I give you. Right?
Oh my God.
So we're trying to
interesting.
Yeah.
I kinda wanna test this now. Or like you know, your partner needs to work out more so that way they give more pleasure to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really the fun part about this is once you kind of get the idea in people's minds that they can really take any hardware that talks to a computer and hook it to any sex toy that talks to a computer, then it just becomes this sort of explosion of ideas, some good, most hilarious, that it gets people excited and interested in it. And the nice thing about this is, back in when I was talking about the engineering education thing again, it used to be a thing of like, well, you could build a robot to bring you a beer. There are many points between buying the book that tells you how to make that robot and actually having that robot done that you'll get about 2 or 3 chapters into it and realize it's really easy to get up and get your own goddamn beer. Now, when you're talking about the robot actually having sex with you, though, people tend to push through to the end there. They really like that end goal. So it really, it keeps the interest going. And the and there's so many parts in between where you can test and things might still be interesting and fun. And you may not even make it to that end goal because you find something in the middle that works just as well or works even better. So, yeah, it gets people thinking about experimentation, which is really what we're looking for.
So you, this idea, I'm sure, has already rolled in your head, but it just came into my head, and that's laser tag. With vibrator stuff.
Oh my god, yes.
You get hit and you're like, oh, you're up for a bit.
That's a good one, actually. I had not thought of that one.
I like
one before,
that. That's my favorite one so far, right?
Yeah,
there.
That would be great. A little 2-on-2 action or whatever.
So
you
actually,
could wipe out an entire platoon that way.
One of the things that.
Orgasm grenade.
Sorry, continue.
So one of the things we've already done. We did this back in February. There's a piece of software built on top of the butt plug library called the Game Vibration Router. What that does is it's a recreation of one of my first sex tech projects. Back in 2005, I built a system called the Sex Box, which was an Xbox gamepad that I took apart, yanked the motors out of, took wires where the motors were supposed to be, and hooked those to a sex toy. The idea being that therefore, any Xbox game that made the controller vibrate would then be in a sexual environment.
Oh.
And I used that with the game Burnout, which, for those that are not familiar, is a game. It's a race. It's a car racing game that actually sort of rewards you for crashing. It tries to get you to make the biggest crash possible.
So with that,
Burnout actuated sex toys, I had basically created an interactive version of J.G. Ballard's Crash. So, fast forward 13 years now, and I realized I could do that completely with software. So there's no more hardware mods or anything required. You can just download this piece of software on a Windows 10 box. You can attach it to your game as long as it's not something like Overwatch that's just like this huge fortress of anti-cheat mechanisms, because we do use what is basically a cheat mechanism to pull this off.
Right.
And we watch the game, and whenever the game tells the controller to vibrate, we also make a sex toy vibrate. So one of the first games I hooked up with this was Rocket League.
Oh, yes.
One of the interesting parts about Rocket League is, well, and first off, one of the interesting parts about the software is that it completely recontextualizes the value propositions and goal points of the game. Like, what does winning mean when you want things to vibrate more than you want to get a high score? So, with Rocket League, it vibrates whenever you boost, whenever you run into the other player, or whenever you score. So there was a lot of times where it was just like, okay, hook it up and run into the other player a whole bunch. It becomes more of a demolition derby thing and you completely ignore the ball. Or if someone was going to score, everyone heads toward the goal as quickly as possible because the proximity to the goal dictates the amount of vibration that happens. The closer you are to the goal, the more things vibrate. So I worked with a cam model who brought her fan club in, and they actually played a 3-on-3 game.
Nice.
Of Rocket League, where the cam model was hooked up to a Levin's Dummy, which is sort of like a magic wand that's Bluetooth controlled. And they played for hours. And it was really interesting to watch because this was on cam. So there was this cam model that she was nude, had the toy hooked up and everything else. But people would get so into the game that they would almost forget that was happening. So there was this balance between like, oh, I really need to score. I need to beat the other team. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to be watching the sex stuff happen too. So watching kind of the trade-off there was amazing. But it ended up being this super interactive, interesting paradigm for working with camming, which is usually a situation of sit there, wait for people to come in, maybe converse a little bit, and then once some tokens start flowing, some sex happened. It kept everyone really engaged, which was kind of an interesting thing to see. So still playing with that more now. I actually have a YouTube channel that will be having video game reviews based on this software. So instead of reviewing the video game for the graphics and the sound and the gameplay, I'm now reviewing it for vibration and haptics, which I don't think anyone's ever done before. there's an episode up of a game review of Rez right now. We got it working with Rez Infinite.
Ooh.
And the also... one of the first sex toys I ever worked with that hooked to a computer was the Rez Trance Vibrator, which was a USB vibrator that came out in 2003 for the PS2. I still have an original one, and I got it working with Rez Ultimate, which came out last September. And yeah, that's worked out real great. So yeah, there's just so many interfaces and things to do right now that I have so many half done projects with this thing, and looking forward to seeing what others do with it too.
Well, I mean, that's awesome, and we're definitely going to check out those game reviews.
Yes.
Are you going to be doing the game reviews, or you have other people you're encouraging other people to create them?
So I'm doing the game reviews on YouTube, but we have a message thread happening on our forums at metafetish.club, CLUB, that actually lists all the games people have tried with this. So there's Rocket League on there. Someone tried it with Mortal Kombat. The whole finish him, finish her thing gets real, real interesting context at that point. And so we're kind of looking for people to recommend games, because that's the thing, is like any game that works with a gamepad could work with this. So there's just so many out there and so many options that I certainly can't do this alone. So yeah, definitely looking for whatever input anyone has.
Well, as some of our viewers might know, we recently did that video for April Fool's where Lily was on the tremor, and now that wasn't plugged in, it didn't have feedback or anything like that going on, but that's a space that we're pretty mm-hmm. interested in. You know, we're game players, and we'd put some reviews out there. We'll have to try some different things out.
Yeah I saw that video. That looked that game was Adventure Island was difficult in the first place. So
I definitely didn't want to make it any easier for her, but that, you know, in that case, that was less about the video game and more an excuse to turn the vibration up on poor Lily.
Yeah, you know, and what some of our listeners don't know is that was actually the second through game.
That's true. Lily was a very big trooper on that day, because we had done the first part. What was it that went wrong? Oh, I remember OBS didn't actually record. So we had all the audio, and we had the audio of you talking and even the audio from the game, but the video was just a static image. Lily, I know we just went and did like a half hour of playing on this the tremor. Do you mind doing that again? She was anxious but a little bit tired.
I definitely took a nap after that.
So stepping back just a little bit, I heard you mention the metafetish.club. So I curiously got on to go take a look at what you've got on your forums. And I thought, when I saw this, I laughed. I saw Sinky Dink. Now, what is this? So it's a web-based haptic movie player, and I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, so I, as you can probably tell, I have an issue with naming things. Like naming the software butt plug was a bit of a risk, because it turns out that word's used a lot for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly used for actual butt plugs. So our Twitter account, which is just buttplug.io, actually gets a lot of questions from people that are like, what butt plug should I buy next? And it's like, well, I mean, I have some opinions, but that's not really what we do. So Sinky Dink is sort of a similar issue there. There have been toy synced movies since the late 90s. And what that means is, say you're watching a movie on your computer and that movie is porn. It usually so happens that porn has a lot of reciprocal movement in it, things moving back and forth at a certain pace. And mm-hmm. so you can synchronize toys with that movement. In the 90s, that was done via sticking a little sticky cup to your monitor, and they'd have a little square on screen that would change from black to white based on how fast or slow your vibrator was supposed to be going. And so that little square would change colors depending on what was going on screen, and it would make your vibrator match up with what was on screen. Now, since then, of course, we've had USB and now Bluetooth toys, so we don't have to do that anymore, luckily. But yeah, so what happens now is people can create their own scripts for whatever movies they have that dictate how a toy moves. And Sinky Dink takes those scripts and the movies and matches them up and then integrates the web version of Buttplug, and you can actually control toys with movies.
Ooh, so that's what I want.
Yeah, there's already a decent sized community of people making scripts for movies right now. This was a huge, huge thing with the Cock Hero community. Have you guys played with Cock Hero at all?
No, I've not.
I haven't.
Does that have to do with Guitar Hero?
Think, yeah, it basically, it is, yes. Think of it like DDR for masturbation. So a Cock Hero video has what's known as a beat meter. So most of the video will be some sort of pornography, usually music synced, and across the bottom there will be this... Think of it like a single line in Guitar Hero or something like that, and there will be little dots on it. And that's showing you how fast you're supposed to masturbate at that time. Now, there are videos for Cock Hero all over the internet. There's tons of them on Pornhub. There's both Cock Hero and Fap Hero. Cock Hero is usually, like, actual real person porn. Fap Hero tends to be more hentai.
Sure.
But these videos, I mean, some of them, they have multiple difficulty levels and go on for over an hour.
Jeez.
And a lot of them, too, can easily go up to above 200 BPM or 200 strokes per minute.
So I have a question. So there's no real, when you watch these videos, there's no real feedback mechanism, right? There's no getting the point or not, but you're just supposed to match that rhythm. Is that right?
You're supposed to match that rhythm. And there are even message board threads of people that play competitive Cock Hero over Skype.
So how does it measure? I think I'm missing one point of this. So
it doesn't measure right now. Like, like it's an honor based system.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. That makes more
now,
sense.
But the thing is, like, it was an honor-based system before we came into this. Now we can actually program toys to match those beats. So say you have a Fleshlight launch. The Fleshlight launch is a toy that you actually insert a full Fleshlight into, so it's fucking huge. And it will actually make it move back and forth. And so we can program a script to match Cock Hero. So instead of having to stroke yourself while watching the video, it matches those beats for you already and causes the Fleshlight launch to stroke for you.
Oh,
nice.
Can't beat those beats.
It's well, except for the fact that the Fleshlight launch can't actually keep up with the videos sometimes. But honestly, I think it's rather dubious that people think they can stroke themselves at 200 to 300 strokes per minute for any amount of time, too. It's like, no, skin would start coming off then. You don't understand how friction works here.
Talk about a rosy palm.
You need like a standby crew with like lubricants. So it's like, you know, all right, go, and then squirt it on there.
Just a lot of J-lip. That's all. Lots of J-lip.
It'd be like a total like NASCAR pit situation.
Yeah.
I actually kind of want to see this. Like, seriously.
Competitive masturbation. I'm all about it. I love it. But you know what? What's really great is we've only done this interview for a short period of time now, and already I've learned so many things that exist I had no idea. So it's like a whole new world. I'm loving it.
A whole new world.
No.
Oh. I mean, until this stuff becomes a Jeopardy category, I don't have much else to do with this knowledge, so I'm happy to share it.
Well, we're happy to suck it up. I love it.
Well, we're happy to suck it up, and I think this sort of stuff is going to change the world. I mean, sex is the best and oldest form of entertainment, and we are an entertainment-based society, so clearly this should be at the forefront of what we're doing. I don't know, that's just my opinion.
I agree. I completely agree.
But going back to the movie player thing, though, just to let people know, there's not a website for Sinky Dink yet. But if you go to realtouchscripts.com, realtouchscripts.com, that's a forum where a lot of scripters hang out. And there's information there on how to make your own scripts for movies. And not only is there Sinky Dink, there's another native Windows player called Script Player. Script Player will work with Whirligig, which is a VR movie player. And Sinky Dink also has VR capabilities through web VR. You can actually do VR in your web browser right now on Android, Chrome, and on Firefox on Windows, and I think recently on Chrome on Windows too. So we can actually synchronize not only with regular just 2D movies, but like 180 SBS VR movies. So you can have your toys syncing with a VR movie. And it's pretty easy to make your own, too. It just requires Blender, the open source free 3D package. There's actually film editing in Blender, which I had no idea about. And we have a little package that, actually someone in the community built a little package in Python that allows people to hand script movies there. It usually takes like 1.5 to 2 times the length of the movie to script a movie. But at that point, you're done and you can go share the file with the community.
So you said that's a plugin that's for Blender, like that allows you to. So Blender takes care of.
So the idea there is, so with Blender, what you'll do is you'll watch the movie, and you can hit numbers on your keyboard or whatever to tell the say where the toy should be at the time the movie is playing, and you can like adjust the timeline out and stuff. Yeah,
got it. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Blender, so
I know I saw your ears perk right on up for that one.
You know, there's one question that we forgot to ask here at the beginning. You want the honors, Lily?
I'm very excited. So, Q-Dot, what is your favorite dessert?
Wow, that's a tough one.
I know, right?
Yeah, I just spent the past half hour talking about butt plugs, and I have to think about dessert.
Well, dessert and sex, they go so well together.
Yeah, I'd probably go with mint chocolate chip ice cream. I'm a big fan of that.
I like that one.
It's a very good choice. Mm.
Now back to our planned conversation on sex.
So, Q-Dot, do you have a favorite toy to...
Toy game combination, yeah. I guess, for the teledodonic stuff.
I'm still pretty proud of the burnout thing, even though I did that many, many years ago now. Just because I liked the literary reference there of being able to do Ballard's Crash with it. let's see, what else have I tried?
You know, as soon as I started thinking about this stuff, Burnout was actually one of the first games I was thinking of. I was thinking driving games in general. I'm like, oh, Burnout would be really great with this because, you know, the wiping out actually with all the vibration is like, it just seems like a well-suited game for that.
There's another tiny game that I've been planning on doing a game review of soon. There's a twin-stick shooter called Crimson Land that was originally released in 2003, had a re-release a couple of years ago. I mean, and it's just your normal run-of-the-mill twin-stick shooter. So, like, you're this marine-looking dude, and you walk around shooting, like, zombies and insects and stuff. There's not a lot to say in terms of game mechanics there. It's very, very Smash TV.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
Love that game. The interesting part about it is it has something like 35 guns, and each of them has a different vibration pattern.
Yes.
And so, once again, it changes the value proposition of the game. Where it's like, okay, do I get this gun that's going to kill everything really quick, or do I do this slowly with a gun that has a fun vibration pattern?
Yeah.
So that's like that one actually ended up being far more interesting than I planned, because I just got it for like $1.99 on a Steam sale at one point. And sure enough, now it's like, wow, there's just all sorts of dynamic vibration here. So this game will totally get like a 10 out of 10 on my game reviews channel, even though it's pretty run of the mill otherwise, like I said.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Just thinking about, like, picking up the different power-ups and stuff. When you actually are given that level of control in the game, like some games, you know, you're just going to get vibration back based on some of the actions you take. But when you actually can make a decision of, like, oh, do I want to go with that, you know, machine gun, or do I want to go with that one? Because it will actually feel different. Then it starts to get interesting because you're making choices, again, just outside of what's in the game itself, right? Like, you know, maybe that gun's a little bit weaker, but damn, it feels really good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the goal is no longer to win the game or get the highest score. The goal is sort of external to the game, really, and it's just kind of more of an interface to get there yourself versus actually proving something in the game.
So one of the things that I was thinking about when we were going to have you on the show was not even about gaming, but I was thinking, you know, especially with systems where you might be able to get feedback, tell when someone's close to orgasm, you might be able to do stuff, and I'm sure parts of this already exists, like artificial intelligence that is, you know, paying attention to how you're responding to things and kind of like testing the waters with you and getting you to your own particular, like, really close to orgasm, then cutting it off automatically and all that. And then I was even thinking about machine learning and how it might, you know, correlate to this, right? And it learns you over a certain period of time, the things that you really enjoy, the things that lead to the biggest orgasm and that sort of thing. And it'll start to build, like, a suited, purpose-built, like, set of patterns or something for you. I thought that'd be really cool. Like, okay, sex so with an artificial intelligence.
Yeah, to give you some history on that. So in 2006, there was a toy company that still exists today called Jejoue, J-E-J-O-U-E. They've put out, these days their vibrators are fairly simple, but the first product they ever put out was also called the Jejoue. And it was basically a vibrator that was also an iPod. It came with its own synthesis programming language, you could program your own vibrator. And no one bought it because it was $450 and no one wanted to program their own vibrator. So their second toy, though, was called the Saucy, and they were kind of going for that idea of it came with like a whole bunch of set patterns, and then you would say, okay, I like this pattern or I don't like that pattern. It would try to build new patterns for you based on that. It was very rudimentary. I mean, it wasn't like the ML that you're seeing today. There was no TensorFlow involved in this or anything else, but it was still sort of an idea of how can we build a personalized interface for the user. Now, these days, in terms of the edging you were talking about there, we don't need to get nearly that complex with that. There's a toy called the Nogasm, N-O-G-A-S-M. You can look it up at orgasmscience.com, and it's a open source toy, so there are plans for it on GitHub. I've built one. I know a few other people that have built them, so if people are interested in building it themselves, there's sort of a small community around it. And what it does, it's a pressure sensor that is hooked to a board that goes to an Arduino. And the pressure sensor is usually hooked to some sort of either vaginal or anal plug that is hollow. And you can use the hollow plug to sense air pressure changes. And what that's going to mean is as you see muscular contractions, you're going to be able to see those reflected in the air sensor. And due to the timing of muscular contractions during nearing and during orgasm, which there's a few academic papers on that, you can actually edge people with this. So the idea is you for a certain pattern of muscular contractions, and the signal that comes out of this toy, it either has a sort of a wand vibrator you can build and hook directly to it, or we're now working on a Bluetooth interface for it, so it'll drive any of the Bluetooth toys that Buttplug already works with. So you can use this and how close you want it to detect you getting, and then it'll just stop everything and start all over again.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't create that toy. That's someone out of our community that did that, who's an amazing, amazing developer, Ned. And he, like I said, he's put it all up on YouTube and helped me build one. And yeah, it's a super, super neat thing. So that's the nice thing, is there's little, like, we don't have that whole, like, AI sort of learns how to have sex with you thing yet, but we're getting bits and pieces of it there. We're also seeing it in the commercial market a little bit more with toys like Lioness. The Lioness is a toy out of a company that's a startup out of Berkeley that has a lot of biometrics built into it to test things like muscle contractions, blood flow, temperature, and whatnot. And they're trying to build databases of this information, actually, to figure out how to use the sensing of the body to detect orgasm, give people better sex with their toys, things like that. They're doing some really cool work.
All right, so two things. First, so the Linus, is that like a penetrable or an insertable?
Yeah, that's a I think it's a rabbit type toy.
Okay.
This idea, because every person is different. Everybody has a different type of orgasm. Mm-hmm. So it can adapt to each person's need.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest problems of toy design is everyone's body is subtly different. And especially when you get into intimate interfaces, everyone's needs are going to be either subtly or wildly different. So trying to build a mass market toy is a really, really difficult proposition. So hopefully, yeah, now we can just use tech to sort of personalize it to people's needs, hopefully while also not losing their data.
Yeah, it's a complicated problem, but it is like a solvable problem with stuff like big data and machine learning. You know, it'd probably be able to find something to match, you know, what everyone wants. I mean, not one thing that matches at all, but you know, it'll identify patterns that we wouldn't even have thought of. So that's really cool. Yeah. I'm excited about this.
We just got to convince people to actually hand it. Like the nice thing about big data is there's a lot of people's data in it, so we have to figure out. How do we ask people for their orgasm data?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it gets tough. I mean, this is all very tough and gray area. I mean, I know personally, I would want to give to the cause, right? Like, I wouldn't have any problem with it, but, you know, that's...
The masses out there might.
Yeah, well, most people would have a problem with that, I imagine. That's not great. And it wasn't there recently, Q-Dot, you probably know about this more than I do. Wasn't there some toy, was it the Hush Plug, that was collecting that information and not letting people know or something like that?
I've actually got my settlement check from the Standard Innovation lawsuit sitting here on my desk.
No kidding.
So the first one was the Standard Innovation Wii Vibe. That was revealed at DEF CON 2016. I believe it was, to be collecting user data without the user's consent. And there was a $3.5 million a class action finding against Standard Innovation, of which I got, well, I think I got like 130 or 140 bucks. Basically, it paid for my Wii Vibe, which was great.
Yeah, nice.
And then currently, the Hush Plug, there's some sort of... user information issue with Lovence, that there's been some new who make the Hush Plug, like you mentioned, that there's been some new lawsuit about. I haven't had a chance to read up on it too much yet.
Sure.
But the nice thing is there are people out there that are looking for this. There's the Internet of Dongs project at internetofdon.gs that covers security and sex toys. So the guy that runs it, Renderman, has been doing security for things like airplanes and stuff for years, and he decided to take a look at sex toys, and he helps companies try to actually make their toys and their services secure. And then there's also Sarah Jamie Lewis, who is just Sarah Jamie Lewis on Twitter. She does amazing work with things like building teledildonics over Tor. So you can have completely anonymized teledildonics that sometimes you can't even trace it. Like you really literally do not know who is connecting to your toy. She built a project called Onion Dildonics that built teledildonics over the Ricochet Tor chat system. And so people like like Sarah and like Renderman are really trying to tackle this problem of how do we keep this stuff safe and private. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. What's great about that is that seems like the best way to have anonymous sex completely safely, right? Like there's no real risk. That's really great. So right now, Lily and I, and I don't think you do, Kit, have any like teledildonic stuff. I mean, I have the Master Beta Kit that I messed around a little bit from Orgasmatronics. But let's say that we wanted to get started. We want to use the game vibration router, something that you would recommend that's in semi-reasonable price range. Do you have a recommendation for us?
So in the butt plug software, one of the first pieces of hardware we supported is the Xbox gamepad itself. That is the vibrator most people have. Now, unless you are a serious connoisseur of like XXL bad dragon toys,
nope.
Xbox gamepad is not really considered an insertable.
Yeah.
But it at least vibrates and it can, so you can start playing with apps, playing with like the movie sync and whatever else and kind of seeing, okay, what does this feel like?
Yeah, so you can kind of like sit on top of it or grind on it or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're real desperate, it's not the most ergonomic or sexy thing in the world, but it at least gives people an idea.
And it'll get your controller all sticky.
Yeah, well, and you probably want something a little bit more body safe than that. You know?
Yeah.
So what would be your next up recommendation from pure desperation grinding my Xbox gamepad?
For vibrators, I normally recommend Lovence. So like the Hush or the Dommy are both really good toys. They tend to have Bluetooth connectivity issues with Lush's app on phones, but we support them in butt plug, which means we support them on multiple desktop operating systems and Android. We're still working on iOS. For a price goes up as complexity of the toy goes up. So
sure.
Lovence toys, you can usually find anywhere between $80 on sale and like $120 at their highest. The Fleshlight,
and those would
launch,
be like a butt plug and a vaginal plug or something like that.
They have the Hush is a butt plug. The Max is a tube that vibrates and has air pockets in it. I don't really recommend it. The Nora is a rabbit vibe. The Dommy is a wand vibrator, so think of it like a magic wand, except it's as powerful, if not more, than a Hitachi. And it's slightly smaller too. It's kind of an amazing little piece of technology. Let's see, the Lush is, yeah, that's sort of a vaginal plug. And then there's the Oski and the Ambi, and I can't remember how to describe either of those two, but yeah, they've got a huge product line that you can go through. For penis owners out there, I mean, the Dommy works for a lot of people I know that have used them in penile play, because it's just so strong. But I should say Hitachi attachments do not work with it. The head size is different than a Hitachi.
Oh, so you couldn't put like your male attachment for the Hitachi on it? That's a shame.
Not yet. We on one of the 3D printing channels I'm on, people are working on 3D printing shims.
That the other day. Yeah, that could be an interesting fix for that.
Yeah. There's, I mean, for penises, the Fleshlight launch is a good toy, but it's big. It's big and it's expensive. You're looking at $200 without a Fleshlight. So altogether, you're looking at somewhere between $250 and $300 at the end of it.
Wow.
There's also the Vors Cyclone A10SA, which you can see at vorzinteractive.com, V-O-R-Z-E interactive.com. That's a toy that instead of thrusting it, it has sort of little fleshlighty things you put in it that rotate. It's an interesting toy. They have a lot of different sleeves, a lot of different textures on it. Penis size is an issue there. You will want to check circumference, because it tends to be on the smaller side, and from what I've seen, like anything, yeah, I think it's like 5 inches of circumference is about the biggest it'll go. Where with the Fleshlight launch, I mean, Fleshlights are fucking huge. Yeah, for reasons I
very
don't
stretchy.
Really get. Yeah, so that one tends to be kind of on the other end of working with size. So, most of the strokers and rotators, those end up being above $200. They're not quite as cheap. So if you just want to play with something, Lovence is the nicest sort of nicest yet cheapest large brand. If you really want to go experimental, if you just search Amazon for Bluetooth vibrator, you can find all sorts of crazy, like, knockoff Chinese companies like KC Pro and Hision Li. We are trying to get like a big pile of those and support them in butt plug, because sometimes you'll see Bluetooth vibrator. Like I have a KC Pro that I got off Amazon for $10.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Is it any good?
It's okay. It took me a while to learn how to make it stop. like it doesn't actually, you turn it on and it just starts. And it took us a while to figure out what the like where is the pause for this. I mean, that's the nice thing is there are cheaper toys out there. It just kind of depends on what you're wanting to do.
So let's say that I pick up like my Hush plug or something like that. And I want to get started in actually using the game vibration router. Could you just unpack maybe like what that process is like? So I just got my Hush plug in the mail. I've got my Windows machine here. What steps do I go through?
So you'll need to download our application suite. And then there is both an online tutorial on our website, or at least on our new website, which will hopefully be up by the time this airs. and that will that can walk you through the steps. And there's also a YouTube video series as part of my YouTube channel where I show how to use the software. So with the game vibration router, for instance, you'll download this the butt plug application suite, which is what we call it right now. That name might be changing soon. And then you'll fire up the game vibration router, connect your hardware to it using like our little scanner device interface, and then you bring up your game. There's a list of all the processes running on your computer. You attach it to the game and off you go. Each of the stuff, each of these applications like Sinky Dink and Script Player and the GVR all have a little bit of different workflow, but once you get used to the idea of, okay, I need to turn my toy on, scan for it, probably select it in whatever the UI is, it tends to like the UI is a little bit different, but overall the idea is the same.
That actually sounds pretty simple when he explains it that way.
Yeah, it's well, the nice thing is, too, we've got a Discord server at discord.buttplug.io that people can come to, and we have, like, I'm there. There's a whole bunch of other people there that already know how to use the software. If people have problems, they can come there. There's our forums at metafetish.club where people can post questions. So we've got a lot of support forums that, if you have a problem, we can try to help you figure it out.
So basically, if we're doing this and the vibrator gets stuck on and we can't get it turned off.
Hey, guys, I need some help. You're just going to have to wait for the batteries to run out or unplug it or something.
So to step back just a little bit, I know we've been talking with the different games syncing, like racing games and first-person shooters, but Max here has been obsessed with Kerbal, and I
can stop anytime I want, okay?
Oh, don't tell me during this whole thing you haven't been thinking about Kerbal.
Well, I'm about to do a mission to Duna. What do you want? You want me to sit here and not be planning how I'm going to get a Kerbal there and safely back, or lose them and then have to do, you know, the emergency mission to pick them up? What do you want? What do you want from me?
I want you to actually have some fun while you're doing it. So I remember Max told me about there's someone created a what do you call it? Like a thing for the sex toys to go with it, or?
QDOT was telling me, I think, that somebody created a plugin for Kerbal, right? To go along with Game Vibration Router?
Yeah, there's a mod that's available for Kerbal this is just for Butt Plug, another one of our servers. It doesn't actually use the GVR. So instead of because they aren't making a controller vibrate, they are literally directly controlling a sex toy via Kerbal. The idea is as you change the thrust level of your rocket, it will change the vibration levels of the toy.
So oh my God,
as you take
awesome.
Off, you take off.
This sounds awesome because he just got these huge rockets that make these really amazing sounds, and all I can think of is, you know, he's standing over playing his game and just goes, ooh. we need to do that.
I don't need any more distraction. You blow me up enough. So, QDOT, is there anything else you'd like to share with us or the listeners?
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything. I mean, that was, we talked about Metafetish and Butt Plug and everything else. So, Yeah, I'm out of ideas.
One thing I'd like to mention is that you did join our Telegram channel. So, you know, if you want to talk to Q-Dot, maybe ask him some questions, you can find him there. Where else can people find you and the work that you're doing?
So, of course, there's our blog at metafetish.com, and the main software website is at buttplug.io. If you're interested in joining our Discord server, you can just go to discord.buttplug.io. If you're interested in the YouTube channel, youtube.buttplug.io. And finally, for our code repos, github.buttplug.io. So, made all of that easy and look exactly the same. On Twitter, there is my personal Twitter account, at Q-Dot, Q-D-O-T. And if you're interested, once again, in the butt plug software, it has its own Twitter account where I get to be a butt plug, buttplug.io, all one word.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. And I think we're probably going to have you on some other point and talk about some more of the stuff. There's a lot of good crossover here. And I definitely learned a lot.
I have so many things I need to go look up now.
All right, guys, so now it's time for our Define This segment. For those that may have not listened last episode, we've started a new segment where we have one of our awesome sexplorers pick out a random word from Urban Dictionary, preferably something sex-based. They give it to us, and if we don't know it, we try to come up with what we think it might be. So the word that we got this time was angry dragon. Thank you, Darkness.
Thank you.
So I don't know what this is. I have a guess. And Lily, it sounds like you have a guess.
Yeah, I think I might know.
So Q-Dot, are you familiar with the angry dragon?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Okay. Well, that gives us kind of
a hint.
I
hope that
wasn't
a hint.
Well, I mean, I think that pretty much goes for everything on Urban Dictionary. You rarely
right?
look up a word on Urban Dictionary and go, oh, wow, you know, I'd really like to give that one a shot. all right, Kit, do you have any ideas?
Wow, angry dragon. You know, I don't even know, because if I'm thinking about dragons, they are not angry. So I can't really even imagine.
Right. You prefer the friendly dragon.
Yeah, or any number of emotions, but angry. I don't know. I'm stumped. I'm out on this one. I fold.
So something that, so the idea I have, and I definitely don't know what it is. I haven't looked it up, but for some reason I have this image in my head. And I know it's totally wrong, but I'm going to just let it out into the world anyway. I think that the angry dragon is if you give a blowjob with hot sauce in your mouth.
You nailed it, I think. I hope that's what it is.
God.
I really do.
So
that's awesome.
So my thought is, and I'm pretty sure this is it. And this is something when I heard back in college, one of our friends actually told me about this.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, there's no way this is true. So what I think the angry dragon is when you're giving a blowjob, the person basically takes your head, slams it down on your on their cock as they're coming, and then it comes through your nose and out the front.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Oh, gosh. I feel like that's got to be right.
Ding,
right,
ding,
so,
ding. Yeah.
Oh, is that it? I think there might be problems with physics here.
Wow.
Let's double check just to make sure, but I'm pretty... yeah.
All right, so here we go. Angry dragon. Oh, God, there's a YouTube video. I'm not touching that one. All right, here we go. So, the angry dragon. Immediately after you blow your load in a girl's mouth, smack the back of her head and make it come out her nose. When she gets up, she'll look like an angry dragon.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
In yoga, people use neti pots to, like, move water through their nose. And if you think about this, all I can think about, I'm like, a whole new twist on the neti pot.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, college, for teaching me new things.
Yeah, wow. And thank you, darkness, I guess. Well, that's just about all for us today, folks. Thank you for listening to the Trisexuals Podcast. Remember, you can rate us on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the podcast. We're also available on YouTube, Telegram, Twitter. Come check us out. So for Trisexuals, I'm Max Chameleon, a sex AI trapped in a chameleon's body.
And I'm Lily Chameleon. Remember, it's not a great play session unless you're screaming for a vaginal break.
And I'm here to tell you that there's more than one way to stone a kit. Thanks, guys.
I love it.
I found a kit. May we stone, huh?
Thanks, guys.